16 SEN, Melbourne Time of Sports. See, that's one of the songs we were talking about the other day. Songs that have been used in television commercials. There was one, I think it was a Jeep Cherokee or one of those. And the car goes over the cliff and then he finds it washed up on the beach. Yeah. Good song, that one. Player. It is 2:30, time to talk about the MCG. Of course, the absolute pinnacle of sport to... the mecca of sport in this country, certainly in this city. And the man who's the curator of the MCG is David Sandrewski, who's on the line now. G'day, David.
Hey, Kevin. How are you going?
Going well. Obviously, busy time for you at the moment in between wickets for Big Bash Leagues and One Day Internationals and coming off the back of a test match as well.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the busiest part of our summer, the December-January period. They still to be cramming all the games this time of year.
Is it all, you know, work towards the Boxing Day test and having it right for that very first morning of the Boxing Day test? Is that your sort of Melbourne Cup?
Yeah, that's definitely the pinnacle of the season, the Boxing Day test. Like, that's everything we aim for and work for, is to get that wicket as good as we possibly can so the public can come along and enjoy a really good game.
How long do you spend working on that wicket, David?
Obviously, throughout the year, you have preparations in place and sort of renovations at certain times to get it right where you want, when you want to start. But the final sort of rolling phase probably starts anywhere from 7 to 10 days out from the game, depending on the weather.
Right. Can you explain to us, with drop-in wickets, what's the difference between drop-in wickets and wickets that are there in the square the whole time?
I suppose the main difference between the two is obviously when you drop the ones in, they are a little bit harder to get sort of more level because you start your levels at the start of the year every single year, where a permanent wicket table, you can sort of work up towards something over a few years. But having said that, for us, the reason ours are pretty strong now is because you haven't got footy running across them and making a mess of them. So, you know, the grass remains nice and strong, which gives you sort of pretty good batting wickets.
So do you drop wickets into the square at the MCG or not?
Yes, we do. We drop all 10 of our wickets in as soon as the grand final's over.
Yep.
And we take all 10 of them out as soon as their last game of cricket's done.
And where do you bring them in from?
They currently reside sort of in between the MCG and Punt Road, behind a enclosed fence up there, and that's where we spend the time of the off season working on them to get them right.
So when you're coming up as someone learning your craft, I mean, do you work on wickets, block wickets, or do you work on both wickets that get dropped in? Or and is there a great difference between the two in terms of what you do to make them a good cricket wicket?
I mean, I learned all my craft on permanent wickets, so there weren't too many drop-ins around. So a lot of people do learn on the permanent wicket tables. But having said that, the principles remain the same in making them up. It's still the same sort of rolling and cutting of the grass and getting the thatch levels to where you want them to be, and also the same moisture control. But I suppose the main difference is just the sheer moving them in and out all the time. They can sort of move around a little bit, and you can get them a little bit of undulation to them every now and then, which probably requires a bit more angle rolling or cross rolling than with a permanent wicket table.
Yep. So, for instance, when you've just had the test match, you've got Big Bash games at the G, you've got a one-day international game coming up on Sunday. How many wickets are you working on at this particular moment in time, Dave?
At this particular moment, we've got two on the go. We've got one from the last Big Bash match. At this stage, we're looking at cleaning that one up. But we've got Sunday's wicket, which we'll probably reuse for Tuesday because they're so close together. But, yeah, this time of year with Big Bash, we can be working on two or three at a time.
When you're working on the test wicket, what are you trying to achieve with the test wicket? I mean, the perfect scenario, I would imagine, is a little bit of life on the first day, particularly in the first session, and then it slowly deteriorates over the next 5 days, not the way they used to kind of fall away and crumble and carry on. Is that what you're trying to do these days?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You want a little bit in it first up in that first session to get, you know, do a bit with a new ball and test the batters out. And then as the game goes on, it should sort of wear and get a bit worse as the match goes on, sort of bring the spinners and a bit of variable bounce in it for the quicks as well. But obviously achieving that is very difficult because preparing one way or the other sort of determines which way, whether you have more bounce or less bounce in them.
Yeah, that first day wicket, I mean, a lot's been said over, you know, the last probably few years that it's become more batting friendly as each year goes by and the bowlers get less and less and less. Do you really try to give the bowlers something in that first session? And how do you do that?
You do that just purely on the amount of moisture in the wicket, but also the amount of grass you've got, you know, going in at day one. So, yeah, you want probably a little bit more than it had this year, just a tad more. But having said that, with the weather conditions as well, sometimes if the weather's overcast, the ball can swing a lot too. And if there's a bit in the deck, you can have a team roll for 150. So the hard thing is getting that balance right to about that sort of 300, 350 score, because if you err too far one way, you obviously get a sort of higher score. And if you err too far the other way, you get, you know, a lower score.
How were you feeling during this last Boxing Day test with the rain sort of playing its part and you're on and off and on and off? How did that feel for you?
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest of a test match to have to put the covers on and off that many times. We'd rather just sit back and watch the game and enjoy, you know, the skills of the players at hand. But it's something you've got to deal with every now and then. And I suppose the hardest thing with that is obviously judging the wicket to get it just right with those weather conditions around.
How much technology do you use to know when to get the covers ready? And are you primed for action knowing that, you know, probably 25 minutes away, according to the satellite picture, that there's a storm coming in from Werribee or whatever?
Yeah, no, we look at all the forecasts and watch the radars constantly, and we watch every single ball of the game, so we're there ready to go whenever we need to. But we're pretty lucky here because it's pretty rare that we get a really heavy storm apart from that last one on, I think it was day four. But that one too coincided with tea, which made it nice and easy, so we can come out and get the covers on with plenty of time to spare.
Been a lot of criticism, particularly in the Sydney test, about the rules and regulations of getting covers off and on, and some time delays that happened that seemed to be... you're ready to go, you're ready to take the covers off or to put them back on or whatever, and the play seems to be held up. Who governs when you can and can't go on, or is that just your discretion?
No, it's purely once we hand over the match, we hand it over to the umpires. So the umpires pretty much control that. Obviously, we give them a lot of input into what the weather might be for the day or what we're expecting, but it's usually up to the umpires, especially when you've got that little bit of drizzle. Like, we're happy for them to play through it. But the umpires are the ones that are out there and can see when it's starting to get a bit too greasy for the players, and they usually make the call 99% of the time.
Those early starts that you had to contend with for those couple of days when we lost overs because of the rain, and it was like a 10 o'clock start, I think, two or three days in a row during the Boxing Day test, does that make your job harder?
Not too much. Look, after day one, once the game's underway, everything's ready to go and a lot of our work is done. So the earlier starts don't bother us a great deal. It's probably just more... yeah, the amount of dealing with the covers on and off, that's it.
Talking to David Sandruski, a creator at the MCG. When you get a test that finishes in the last session of the fifth day, you must be pretty happy. You must feel fairly satisfied of what you put it there for the boys to play on has done the job.
Yeah, no, we were really happy that last day. It was one of the most exciting days I've been involved in, especially in the test cricket since I've been here. But yeah, no, it is satisfying to see you get a result, because at one stage there we did look like it might peter out into a draw, so that last day was definitely very exciting.
The wicket that you've got for Sunday's game, David, would that be what, a 3 or 4 day test wicket by comparison?
Yeah, that's usually the aim, to have it to that day two, day three sort of time when it's sort of best for batting. So hopefully the ball still comes onto the bat with not that sort of later varial bounce at day four or day five, and makes it a bit easier for the batsman to play some shots and score some runs.
What's the next great, you know, quest for curators and for, I guess, for pitchers and stuff? Is there something that that you want to get right that we've never been able to get right up until now?
Well, I think every curator strives for the perfect pitch. As I said, like one that's got a bit in it early and then obviously breaks up and takes a bit of turn later. So there's a few different techniques we can use to try to achieve that. But obviously, you know, we've got to work towards those in the off-season and see what we can come up with.
Do you sort of share many ideas with the overseas curators and with the curators around other grounds in Australia?
Not so much overseas. The Australian boys all get together once a year with Cricket Australia, and we have a meeting for 2 or 3 days and discuss all that sort of stuff. We did get to go one last year with a World Cup to New Zealand and spend some time with the curators over there, but generally... it's mainly we spend a lot of time with the guys in Australia and share a lot of ideas between each other.
David, if you were headhunted by you know, the Indian Cricket Association, they said come over here and work on the wickets here in the subcontinent, how would you feel about working with some of those?
I don't know how I'd go with that. I think I'd have to go over and learn from someone first, because one unique thing about curating is you've got to get used to your own local conditions and know them off by heart before you can start sort of making really good quality wickets. So it's something I'd definitely be interested in seeing one day, but I don't think it's anything I'd ever be able to do.
But when you have a look at them and you see them almost as the ball hits the deck, the powder flies up, the dust flies up. I mean, that would obviously be, I imagine, a curator's nightmare.
It would be for us here, but I think over there that's what they love to see. And that's part of the beauty of cricket wickets is that sort of unexpected sort of delivery might be able to get you out under different circumstances. And by playing home and away, it provides a different style of cricket.
Oh, look, we wanted to get a little insight into what you do. Heading up to the test, are you working every single day heading up to the test?
Yeah, me and all the boys, we work all every single day. You know, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, the whole lot. So there's not a lot of rest there. We get a couple of hours off to go and spend with the family, but we're pretty flat out.
And when play's actually on, you said you were, rather than be running around with covers and stuff, you'd just like to sit there and enjoy the game. What do you do? Do you just literally sit there and enjoy the game?
Yeah, well, I personally watch every single ball, and most of the boys do as well. And I suppose a lot of reason for that too is because you want to get a gauge in your mind of how the wicket's played after you've seen, game after game after game. You can actually rate it to how you think it's performed, and you can learn a lot from that from going forward with your next wicket.
And are you the man that the captains come to get the inside word on, how the pitch might play and what it might be like by day three or day four?
Yeah, usually most captains come up and have a bit of a chat a couple of days out and just see what your thoughts are on it. But yeah, it's pretty hard to commit one way or the other. You don't want to sort of lead them up the garden path.
Right. Right. Fair enough. Good on you, David. Appreciate your time. Keep up the good work of the G.
Thanks very much.
David Sandruski there, one of the creators at the MCG.